Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Reading of God's Word. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's grasp and from all that the Jewish people expected." When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many had assembled and were praying. He knocked at the door in the gateway, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer. She recognized Peter's voice because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gateway. "You're crazy," they told her, but she kept insisting that it was true. Then they said, "It's his angel." Peter, however, kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astounded. Motioning with them with his hand to be silent, he explained to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Report these things to James and the brothers," he said. Then he departed and went to a different place. At daylight, there was a great commotion among the soldiers as to what could have become of Peter. After Herod had searched and did not find him, he interrogated the guards and ordered their executions. Then Herod went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Father, thank you this morning, God, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it is truth, that it transcends time, God, that it speaks to our hearts through your Holy Spirit's power. And I pray this morning, Lord, for ones that are in this building, in this room, or watching online today that may not know you as Lord and Savior. I pray ones today, Lord, that have been running from you, ones that are struggling and battling but don't know what to do, that they would allow your word to speak to whatever it is that needs to be dealt with, Father. That today they would draw that line in the sand, and whether it's someone that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that realizes today they're a sinner in need of a Savior and professes faith in Jesus Christ, or whether it's that person, Lord, that's not being the father, the mother, the friend, the person that you have called them to be, that today will be that day that they do a remarkable turnaround through repentance, through restoration, Father, and begin to live that life that you've created them to live. Lord, today hide me behind the cross, Lord, so that you might alone speak to hearts as only you can do. And may you alone be glorified. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Listen to verses 11 through 14 again. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's grasp and from all that the Jewish people expected." When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many had assembled and were praying. He knocked at the door in the gateway, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer. She recognized Peter's voice. Because of her joy, though, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced to Peter that Peter was standing at the gateway. Leads to the first thing that I want to share with you this morning, and it is this. Do you pray until something happens? What are the disciples, what are all the people doing? They're assembled, and they're praying. You know what they're doing, God? They know what's going to happen. They were well aware what had happened. They knew that Peter was up next. And remember, they didn't just put one guard in some redneck country jail. Oh, no. They made sure that there were not going to be any way that he possibly could get away. There were multiple guards stationed, not only where he was at, but I guarantee you in and around the facility. They did not want Peter to get away, because remember, Herod is wanting to see. He has a bloodlust now because the Jewish people were very happy that he had already killed one of the brothers in Christ, and he was ready to gain more favor with them. This was a political thing more than anything. Do you pray until something happens, or do you just cursory pray? Now, I don't mean, when I say cursory, I mean just say, you know, "Oh, yeah, Lord, just, hey, help everything go well. Lord, have a good name. Bless the Lord. Pass the greens. Amen." Or do you pray? You know, it's called push. You ever heard push? Pray until something happens. That means you pray it through. You got a prodigal child this morning? Are you beseeching the Lord 24/7? Maybe you have a child that may not be a prodigal, but they're bobbing along in the ocean like a bobber would if you just threw it out there, and they don't know left from right, up from down. Are you praying that God would supernaturally convict them, or that God would lead them into his perfect will, that God would make them so miserable or do whatever he had to do to the point of death to bring them to the place of brokenness so that they can yield their wants, their wills, their life? Because you as a parent and a follower of Christ know that they'll never be fulfilled if they are not in yielded submission, living out God's plan for them. See, that's a hard prayer as a parent. My mother told me she was praying that. By the way, I did not like to hear that when I wasn't living for the Lord. I'm praying that God, if he has to paralyze you, do it. Whoa, good gracious. But you know what I realize now? I realize the love that my mother had for me. Well, how could you say that? Because my mother didn't care if I went into heaven with no eyes, no arms, or no legs. As long as I was a follower of Christ, yielded to God's plan and purpose, that's what mattered to her. She didn't care if I had all of my elements and my ability to see and go out and be, from the human perspective, successful, but lost. My mom didn't care for that. She didn't want that. My mother wanted me to yield myself, and my father wanted me to yield myself to the Lord, because that's what they knew would fulfill me and allow me to truly live. How often as parents are we praying, oh God, bring him to you, but just protect him in it? How is God going to be able to break him if he can't break a few bones in a sense in the process? Do you realize what has to happen sometimes for all of us? He put me in my back for 4 years. Is that unloving? Is that ungodly and unjust? No, that's the greatest demonstration of love you could ever imagine. Because God cared so much about me that he did not care about what my earthly prospects would be for retirement and being able to continue to climb the ladder in profession and all those things. God didn't care about that. He cared about my heart, because Scripture reminds me that all the rest of this stuff is passing away. It's fleeting. Life is a vapor. A vapor. It's like yesterday, my cousin Jennifer and I were 16, 17 years old, her talking about what she was going to be doing and going to college at University of Kentucky. And I'll never forget, it's like yesterday. I can still see her when we were children ice skating on a pond out in Manassas, Virginia at Christmas time. Sharing whether it was a boyfriend that she'd met or what was going on at school and her friends. And I can hear it like it was yesterday. I remember Michael W. Smith's album, I don't remember what the name of it was. I can see it, I can hear the music. But the new Michael W. Smith album came out in about 1993, and I remember we were riding wherever we were going and listening to that new album from Michael W. Smith. It was like it was yesterday. See, all of that now has passed away. All of this time that it felt like we had back then, because we were so young. Now, and I think about it in a contextual sense, let's say 19 to 29, 29 to 39, that's only 30 years from 19 to the day that she would breathe her last breath. Do you think she knew that? Do you think when she woke up last Sunday morning, she knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that she was not going to be alive? And by the way, she would be buried by Wednesday afternoon. It was a military funeral. They had to do it based on the military ability. And now that I think about it, from Wednesday until today, 7 days ago, she was living right now. Now, all but a memory. Scripture talks about passing away. All of these things we do in this life that don't have eternal value and eternal meaning, when you hear me talk about he is no fool, he gives what he cannot keep. What can I not keep? Brothers and sisters, I was very successful before I became a follower of Christ. I was doing very well. I had myself on a trajectory. Now, I was lost. I'm talking about in the human perspective. I had it all figured out, but you know what? I love to drink, and that was not a good part of that. I don't even ingratiate or embellish that. It was a terrible part of my life that I remember one night just a few months before that happened, one of my superiors, I'll just say that, at the police department, we had been in Murfreesboro drinking. I remember driving home going, this is not going to end well. I'll never forget it. I can still hear myself say that as I was coming down 231. By God's grace, that some foolishness that I had been involved in did not end my life or someone else's. It's by God's grace. And see, I'm so thankful, though, that the loving chastisement of God, whatever you want to call it, God knew what had to happen. He had to take out what he had to take out. He had to put in what he had to put in, and it required 4 years in bed. That's what it required. Would I have traded it for a year in jail? No. I wouldn't trade any of it because I'm thankful that God showed me that he was all I needed. I didn't need anything else. And he's still all I need now. And I recognize that, and I'm so thankful that today when I pray, I don't pray like the cursory prayers that I prayed back then. I pray with power, with passion, because I know God not only hears, but he answers. Are you praying like that? Do you have a faith like that? Are you in this building this morning and you're going, I want what he's got. I'm no different than anybody else in what the extension of salvation through Jesus and living in the Spirit this morning that can become a reality to you. Christianity doesn't have to just be some talisman, some lucky rabbit's foot, or something as your get out of hell free card that, well, I just hope everything works out one day. I'm trying to do the right thing, and I'm thankful Jesus died for me, and we'll just see how it all shakes out. Because if that's you, we need to talk. I hope you're not doing what you're doing right now because your parents did it or your grandparents did it. I hope you're not doing it now because your friends did it or your husband or wife. I hope you're doing it because you know that you are lost and without hope. And I hope you know this morning that apart from a life-transforming transaction where the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is applied to your account, meaning you understood that you were lost as I did September 20th of 2004. And it wouldn't have mattered what would have happened to me. I would have run through the walls of that hospital if you'd have said the only way you can do it is to stand out there on the fern. I'd have knocked a wall down. Nothing would have prevented me at that moment. I knew I was lost, and I knew that Christ Jesus was the only answer. And I'm so thankful that he brought me to that part because what he was able to do in the beginning process of that is remove what needed to move from me, and he was able to put in what needed to be put in. And what I didn't even recognize was she would have never told me to stop. It didn't affect my life. I did what I was supposed to do. I didn't whip on my family and do all those things, but see, that day, and didn't even do it consciously, I said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do the rest of my life. God, I'm not going to stop drinking, smoking, and cursing, and whatever you do, you take what you need to take, and you put in what you need to put in. Brothers and sisters, and I mean this with everything in me before the Lord, that was the last day I ever had drank. I never drank from that point on. September 23rd of 2004 was the last day. Now why? Little did I realize that the afternoon when I realized, wow, I haven't wanted to drink today. I didn't realize that the thing that had compelled me to drink was gone. What was that? It was emptiness. I was empty inside. I was battling and didn't even realize I was hopeless feeling. I was trying to put a square peg in a round hole. I was not filled with peace and joy and hope. I wasn't. I was merely trying to feel a feeling that I wanted to feel, a feeling of fulfillment. And that afternoon I said, well, I haven't drank today. I'll wait. If I want to tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow. Woke up at about the same time, 5 or 6 o'clock, and I'm like, wow, I haven't drank. Well, if I want to, I'll do it tomorrow. Guess what? One day, it wasn't even a thought anymore. And I had realized that God had done what I could not do because God had filled what I could not fill. He had taken my hopelessness and transformed it into hope through the indwelling power of the Spirit of God. And that's what I'm thankful for this morning because I know now as a follower of Christ that when I pray, he's going to answer it. It may not be in my timing, but I'm going to pray with passion just like they were doing for Peter because they knew that if God answered, he could answer, he would answer, whether it was what they wanted him to answer. That was the only variable in there. They didn't know God's purpose or plan, but they were going to push, pray until something happened, and look what happened. And by the way, they exposed their faithlessness in the process. We're going to see that in just a second. Look at verse 15 again. "You're crazy," they told her. She kept insisting that it was true. Then they said, "It's his angel." Second thing that I want to share with you this morning is this. Don't deny God's power with your faithlessness. You see, here they're praying that God would deliver Peter. They're praying for a mighty work of the Spirit. God answers it, and then they're going, "Oh, you're crazy. Rhoda, what's wrong with you? Did you get into the new wine or the old wine?" That's what, in essence, they're saying. Something's got to be wrong with you. There's no way he's outside. Remember, they got a bunch of guards watching him. They didn't show their faith, did they? They didn't show with their prayer the faith that they were praying that, hey, it doesn't matter. Hey, he's out there. I guarantee he's out there because we've been praying that God would deliver him. No, he must be his angel out there coming to talk to us. It's kind of crazy what they were saying, wasn't it? They exposed that they were praying, but they didn't pray with power and authority because, in a sense, it's as if they didn't believe that God could deliver Peter. And my question to you is, are you praying with power, church? Are you praying with power and the authority that God has given us in his word? Are you praying in the Holy Spirit, realizing that the Holy Spirit of God can do anything? And when you pray, we don't realize what God's will is, but when we pray, "Hey, Lord, not my will, but yours be done," God, you can do anything. And do you believe it when you say it? If not, I'd encourage you to start praying that God would help your faith, would grow your faith, or maybe give you faith. Because if you don't believe that God can and will do anything, God has nothing that can stop or hinder him. Nothing. Are you praying with true faith? Are you demonstrating your children a true faith? You can only answer that question. I don't know you that well. Because we're not able to see behind the walls of homes. Amen? So you can be honest with yourself. Your family knows the real you. So what's the real you? If you're honest, ask your children, "Do you believe that what I say I am, I am?" If your kids get quiet and raise their eyes up, they've already answered what you were wanting to know. If your kids shut their eyes and bow their heads, you've already seen the same thing. "Well, I'm going to tell you what, Mom, Dad, you live what you say. You love the Lord, and it shows in your life. And if there's anything, if you were arrested for being a Christian, you'd be found guilty because I see the footprints of the Lord in the life that you live." That's what we want to have as the true testimony of our lives. Because we can say anything we want to say and we can make anybody believe what we want to believe, but what's the reality of what you are? Are your prayers that are being prayed in faith? Being sure of what we hope for, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You see, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'd question your existence before I would God. If people are like, "That's crazy. Why would you say that?" Because that's the truth. I know the human eyes and the finite body is able to warp and twist things. But I know, to God be the glory, the truth of who God is, his word, that it endures, and I have experienced it for all the years now that I've been a follower of Christ, and therefore I cannot deny what I know is true. That is the reality of my life, and I hope is the reality of yours. That you're not caught in religion that prays a safe prayer of, "Lord, you know, I know you could heal, but Lord, you just may want to go and take him home now, and Lord, whatever happens is fine." Pray with passion. Pray with true biblical faith. God healed them in accordance with your word. God delivered that young man or young woman from whatever demonic influence or from that spirit of apathy and complacency. Father, we know your will is for them not to reside in that territory. How can you say that? Look at the scripture. You think God's desire for us is to live in apathy? To live in unrepentant rebellion, sin? You think that's God's will? Well, you ain't reading the Bible I'm reading. Because the Bible I read says, take every thought captive to the will of Christ. So if your child's not living for the Lord, I'd encourage you to put them in the God do whatever you have to do to bring them to repentance and brokenness. Because, Lord, you can't bless them if they're not in that place. And God, I pray that you would guard them until that time comes that they come to repentance, that the enemy might not steal their life. Hardcore prayers, aren't they? God, do whatever you have to do. Bring him home, Lord. Bring him home. And I'm not even saying death home, because if you have an unrepentant child who's not a believer, that's the last thing you'd ever want. And even if you watch the movie Stephen Hawking, you ever watched it? He had married a woman who was a believer, and remember, he was as far from what a believer was. So, if I remember correctly, he had divorced her by this point and was traveling, and he got a really bad lung infection and was going to die, and they had him on a ventilator. And they brought him in because she had, I guess, not changed the power of attorney. And this woman was, I'm talking about a believer. And they were basically saying, it's just not worth it. He's going to die. And we just need you to sign this off so we can withdraw life support. And she said, oh, no. She said, no, he cannot die. She knew he wasn't a follower of Christ. And she knew that if she pulled that plug, that he was going to go off into a godless eternity separated from the Lord because he had not placed his faith and trust in Christ Jesus. And she was not going to allow them to withdraw life support. And it didn't matter if he remained on that thing and never came to consciousness. She wanted every opportunity that he would come to know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. Well, he lived another, 30 or 40 years. I don't know what happened in his heart of hearts. I don't know anything besides what I see. I pray he came to saving faith in Jesus Christ, church. But see, that's how important it was to her, because she realized the implications of her withdrawing life support and basically dispatching someone that, though he had left her and hurt her terribly, she loved him unconditionally, as God's word says, and wanted nothing more than to see him come to faith in Jesus Christ. Don't deny God's power by your faithlessness, church. You're struggling with your faith, you cry out to the Lord that God would give you faith. Scripture says you have not because you ask not. Don't sit back and just go, well, it's hard for me to trust. It's hard for me to, well, pray about it then. Pray that God would reveal your heart even greater to yourself, but that God would bring you to the place that you could have a true faith. Because mom and dad, if you're not demonstrating faith to your children, what are your children going to do? Amen? Amen? Because our children do what we do. And we either demonstrate faith to them or we demonstrate faithlessness to them. And the only thing our kids do is make what we do much better. So if you're unrestrained, your children will be much more unhinged and unrestrained. If you're foul, they will multiply that with a multiplication factor. And the list goes on, because Scripture talks about that too. And then, verse 16 and 17. Peter, however, kept on knocking. They're not opening. He's like, come on, yo, what's going on? And when they opened the door, they saw him. They were astounded. Another demonstration of their faithlessness. Motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he explained to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Third and final thing I want to share with you this morning, to me, is the most powerful of the points. The power of God should bless us, not astound us. If you see God answer prayer, it should not astound you. Oh, I can't believe it. He answered prayer. No, it should bless you. It should be another reminder of God's goodness and God's grace and his mercy. And when God answers prayer, you should go and immediately begin to bless his name and praise him. God, thank you. You are so faithful. But what happens when you are astounded? Anybody know what astounded is? God, what? How'd you get here? If I was Peter and they said that, I'd have smacked them. Right? You'd have done it in a holy way too. You're the ones been praying that God would release me. What do you mean? How did I get here? They're once again demonstrating that they didn't believe God was going to, or could, in a sense, release him. Free him. The power of God should bless us. When you see someone come to faith in Christ that you've been praying for, you shouldn't go, wow, I can't believe they finally got to this place. Think about what you'd be saying. You just couldn't believe that the power of God was able to answer your prayer. If God protects you supernaturally, wow, I can't believe it. It's just, I never thought, yeah. God answers prayer, church. God's on time. You pray for that child that's a reprobate right now, that's prodigal and running from God. God's going to answer. But you've got to start with power, passion, and faith praying. Sincere prayer, not cursory. Lord, just straighten them up. Protect them, Lord. Do you want your child protected in their unrepentant rebellion and sin? Think about that one too. How many parents, well-meaning parents, caught in a deception of believing they should pray protection over a child who's running from God? What if you pray that protection over them and they never come to saving faith in Christ because you prayed protection over them? And they were comfortable in their sin and never came to that place of brokenness, that place of truly understanding that they are lost and without hope. That's why there's very important things we need to understand about prayer and being very specific when we pray. Anybody think specifics are important? They are. God, protect the pancreas of my cousin who's getting chemotherapy. God, protect the medical worker from being tomorrow on a 3-day weekend-long party that's coming in to do a surgery on your family member. Pray, God, give them rest. Pray they be rested tomorrow. God, we know you guide their hands, but let them, Lord, to the greatest degree, have clarity of mind and thought, Lord. Each one of the professionals that are involved in so-and-so's surgery. You see where you start praying for specifics? God, I pray for each person involved in my work that's involved in whatever, Lord, that you'd give them a spirit of joy and hope. And God, let me be a lighthouse to them and then be receptive to the things of the Lord. God, don't let me be taken in by the foolishness and the deception that is so rampant all around us, Father. It's so easy in our well-meaning intentions and ambitions, Lord, that we can get out in left field, Lord, and in a sense be, instead of protesting abortion, and we can end up being a thing that stands in opposition to life with well, good intention and meaning. God, I want to be thankful for life. I want to protect it. I want to do those things. And Lord, the danger of supporting things that support the wallet versus life and the things of the Lord are really easy to get twisted up and turned up, and really easy. Because the enemy's a deceiver, amen? And he is very deceptive. And he doesn't like us to care about knowing and digging into the depth of things. No. He wants us to do what mom and dad did, and grandma and grandpa did. He wants people to live in the thoughts, the actions and attitudes of 50 years ago, 60 years ago. He wants us to be completely oblivious to what really matters and to remember that, you know, the three major news networks, they'd never lie to us, right? Because, you know, if they're saying it on TV, it's got to be true. There's no reason that I seek out truth, because, you know, there's no way they'd lie to me. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. Sheep to the slaughter, if that's your mindset. I've got swamp land to sell you to, and it's good, fertile land for anything. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Brothers and sisters, you know what I tell you to go to, anything above everything, is God's word. How does it line up against God's word? Because I promise you right now, God's word will dispel lies in 2 seconds. God's word will dispel lies in 2 seconds. You want to know what the call of a follower of Jesus Christ is concerning orphans and widows? All you've got to do is look at Matthew chapter 25. And not only does it give you insight into the orphans and widows, but it gives you insight into every other people group and persons that we should care about. Because whatever you did to the least of these, you did unto me. You want to know what to do in life? Do you want to know how to behave? Get in Proverbs and read it. Do you want to know the brevity, the shortness of life? Read Ecclesiastes. Do you want to know what it is to be a follower of Christ and live in the inheritance and what it means to be one? Go to Romans. Go to Hebrews. Go to Ephesians. You want to see the power of Christ and the ministry of Jesus and what he was so passionate about? I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Read the Gospels. But you've got to read it to know. If you're not in it, how are you going to know? You're going to rely on someone else. And I challenge you to be a Berean church. You need to know the Bible better than I do. You need to know the Bible better than anybody else who's encouraging you in the Scripture, because then you will know deception when you hear it. Because if not, you'll be just like the Catholic Church was, if anybody knows what happened at the 95 Theses at the Church of Wittenberg with Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, talking about Martin Luther, the Reformation. He was saying that every believer should have God's Word. This was a time when there was a transformational change of evangelical Christianity, when the average, everyday person like us were able to then, shortly after, they were able to have their own word and allow the Spirit of God to speak to us and reveal his word to us, as opposed to what had been happening, which was, hey, the priest was the extreme expositor of Scripture, and they're the ones that should tell us what it says. No. God gave us his word for us, each and every one of us. Again, why I encourage you to get in the word, so that when the power of God is seen, it blesses you, not astonishes you. And again, are you praying till something happens? Are you in God's word as Scripture talks to you about praying without ceasing? And you understand then, as you pray without ceasing, that you're praying until something happens. Are you denying God by your faithlessness, denying everything about him? He's answering prayer all over, but your faithlessness is saying, well, it's just the stars aligned, as people say. You're praying, God's answering. It don't have nothing to do with the stars aligning. It has to do with the mighty hand of God himself. Church, I want to encourage you, when you see the power of God, you begin rejoicing. I'll share real quick. Dan didn't hear this morning, but 2 weeks ago, Dan Brown went, you know, they've shut the abortion clinics down here, so he's like, I'll find the next place. So he goes up to Kentucky, because they'd heard that a lower appeals court judge had opened them back up. So he's been doing this since the early 80s, and he said, I'm going to go up there, and, you know, he's been, the number of children they've been responsible for, praise God, glory, hallelujah. So he gets there, and there's nobody there. He's like, oh, man, I'll be by myself today. So he's praying around the perimeter, you know, waiting for somebody, and then he sees a news truck. So he goes up, and he's like, hey, you know, what are you doing here? Well, a higher court struck down this lower court's ruling, and they're closed. And, of course, you know, Dan, he shouts, start glory, hallelujah. Man starts doing a praise the Lord dance. That guy was a believer, too, so they got to praise the Lord and share together how they're so thankful that God has been so faithful. And Dan said to me, well, the next one I've heard about is up in Illinois, in Olney, Illinois. So Dan now is going to be driving. It's by my memory, it's 4 or 4.5 hours each way. He said, doesn't matter to me. He said, life is worth it, and I'm going to do it until there's not another place in the country. See the passion? See, he knows what's important to the Lord. Life is. He knows what's important. Because he's in God's word. He knows God's word. He doesn't just know about it. He knows it. See, God's the giver of all life. God doesn't make mistakes. Amen? God is on the throne this morning, and God is ever faithful. Don't let your faithlessness and the foolishness of these arguments that people start to talk about, let's start demonstrating it by doing what God's called us to in his word. And let's say, yes, it may look crazy to open up your house and do whatever God wants, whether it's fostering or whether it's just a weekend of being a respite parent, but God, I want to be the hands and feet of Christ. Lord, I want to do. I don't want to just say, or I want to do what you've called us to. Just like the disciples right here. And when you see a mighty work of God, praise God and don't be astonished by it, as if it took you by surprise that God answered your prayer. Because God hears your prayers just like he does mine. Amen? And God will answer your prayers just like he will mine. But this morning, I got a question for you. Do you have the right to enter his presence this morning in prayer? You know that if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, you have no right to go before him in prayer, because the first prayer that God will hear from you is a prayer of repentance. When you confess your sin and ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, and that transaction occurs, that first prayer he'll hear is one of repentance. Have you ever prayed that prayer, realizing that you had no ability to stand in his presence, no ability to approach his throne? But then you realize that Jesus Christ paid the price to allow you that access. If you've done that, glory be to God this morning. But if you'd say, Brother Jonathan, until this morning and understanding what you're saying, I really had no clue what a true work of salvation was. And if that's you, I want to encourage you this morning that if you understand that you're lost and without hope, and you realize right now that you want that type of relationship with Jesus Christ because you know this world doesn't work and the things of this world don't work, but you know from the reality of others that you've seen that are followers of Christ that walking with him does. You have that ability during our invitation. You can come up, grab my arm, and just say, hey, I want to go talk to you, and I'll take you in the back room there, and I'll share with you to the best of my ability the love that God has. We'll look in God's word, and I'll show you verse by verse how much God loves you to the greatest of my ability, and that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Are you the whosoever? Have you been? And if not, I encourage you today to answer the call. His desire is that none should perish. And his desire today is if you're not living the life that he's called you to, maybe there's areas of your life that need to go and be laid down and confessed and dealt with. Maybe you have that child, that family member, that wife, that husband. Maybe you have that mom or dad, that aunt or uncle, that right now you'd say, if from what I've seen in their life, if they breathe their last breath, they don't know Jesus. And God, I just want to begin to pray for them. I want to begin to pray, Lord, that if they are a believer, that you would just show me and make it evident. But God, if not, Lord, I want to week in and week out, I'm going to pour out my heart before you at this altar, week in and week out. And God, I'm going to pray like I've never prayed in my lifetime because God, I know that you love them, that you sent Jesus to die for them. And God, I want to see them come to faith in Jesus Christ before I breathe my last breath. And Lord, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to pray until something happens. And by the way, God, I'm going to go ahead and start thanking you now for the transformed heart that will occur, whether it's this week or in 50 years. Whether I see it on the earthly side, I know I'll see it in glory. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today if you do that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.